Speaking on this program is Brother Winford Claiborne.
Thank you very much. A few years ago, one Protestant church decided to revise its hymnal. One of the men who participated in the revising the hymnal had been a student of mine more than 50 years ago. Some of the leaders and theologians in that denomination were unhappy with hymns which used military imagery. The ones revising the hymnal, let it be known that such hymns as Soldiers of Christ Arise and Onward Christian Soldiers would not be included in the new hymnal. The members of that denomination wrote more than 10,000 letters to the revising committee complaining of the committee's decision. The letters warned the committee of serious consequences if they left out those great old songs. The committee members changed their minds and left Onward Christian Soldiers in the new hymnal. The Tennessean, Sunday, January the 9th, 2000, published an article, Missionaries Face New Challenges, by Mary Otto of Knight Ritter News Service. The article explains some of the difficulties missionaries face in modern times. It affirmed that Christian missionaries no longer go into various countries as Christian soldiers, but as brothers and sisters in Christ. The article quoted one denominational missionary as saying, "I don't know of any missionary in my church who is comfortable with the military imagery." Page 8a. Why are missionaries uncomfortable with the language Jesus and His apostles use? Is it possible some churches are dying because they want to change the way Jesus and His apostles approach the conversion of sinners? Do we honestly think we can improve on their preaching and teaching? I'm fully aware that many preachers, whether missionaries or otherwise, are abrasive, arrogant, mean-spirited. Too many times when those preachers approach the unconverted, they turn them off to their particular religion, and in some cases, to religion in general. Those preachers act like some Americans overseas. Did you know there is a book called The Ugly American? The book was written to show how arrogant some Americans are when they visit foreign countries. Those Americans give the impression that our nation is the most advanced, the most influential, and the most cultured country in the world. Tragically, some foreigners think all Americans are like that. It gives me no pleasure to say it, but there are some preachers and missionaries who leave the same impression. They say by their attitude that we are the wisest and most righteous people under the sun. Is it any wonder that many people are turned off to religion? While Christians are not to be haughty and belligerent, that does not keep us from applying military metaphors to the Lord's church and to its members. I shall not attempt to review all the biblical words which have a military connotation, but I do want to mention some of them in our study today of military imagery. I want to make it plain that we are not fighting individuals, regardless of their moral or spiritual status. As much as I oppose the liberal views of men like John Shelby Spong, R. Kirby Godsey, and Leslie Weatherhead, I do not attack those men. I am not fighting those theologians, but I am fighting the views they are promoting. Can I do otherwise in view of Peter's admonition? But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man who asks you a reason of the hope that is in you, with meekness and fear. 1 Peter 3:15. Can Bible believers stand by and say nothing when the fundamentals of the faith are being attacked? Our enemy is the devil. The Apostle Peter urged his readers, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walks about, seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith." 1 Peter 5:8 and 9. Two words in this brief excerpt need to be examined. The Greek word translated adversary is antidikos, and was used of an opponent in a lawsuit. The word can also refer to any adversary or enemy. It need not have any reference to legal matters. The second word is resist. That word means to stand against. James uses the same word in his admonitions to stand against the devil. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. James 4:7. Paul constantly battled enemies of the gospel. Whether those enemies were Judaism, Gnosticism, worldliness, or indifference, he was not fighting the Jews or Gnostics, worldly or indifferent people. His great desire was to see these people confess faith in Christ and obey the gospel. Will you please listen carefully to these wise words from Paul? For though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more. And unto the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might gain the Jews. To them who are under the law as under the law, that I might gain them who are under the law. To them who are without law, being not without law to God, but under the law to Christ, that I might gain them that are without law. To the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I am made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. 1 Corinthians 9:19-23. Do you think Paul would have written in such a manner if he had considered the Jews and others his enemies? There were some teachers at Philippi who were apparently seeking to return Jewish Christians to the law of Moses. Paul wrote to the church to warn them of the grave dangers of forsaking Christ for the law. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them who walk so as to have us for an example. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. Philippians 3:17-19. Some of the enemies of the cross in our day are very similar to those of Paul's day. Some religious movements seek to bind parts of the law of Moses on Christians. They preach Sabbath keeping, tithing, instrumental music and worship to God, and other practices of the Mosaic law. Liberalism, modernism, indifference, and worldliness are enemies of the cross. But we must recognize that some of the enemies of the cross are outside the church. The Women's Liberation Movement, the Gay Liberation Front, secular humanism, various New Age movements, cultic groups, and many others fall into the category of enemies of the cross. Genuine Christians must oppose these movements. But we must also strive to convert the people in the movements to Jesus Christ. I know it is not always easy to distinguish between the people in the movement and the movements themselves, but we must try to do so. All of this means that we must be soldiers of the cross. If inspiration uses that kind of language, who am I to oppose it or to avoid it? Paul commanded the young preacher Timothy, "You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that you have heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also." Now please listen carefully. "You therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man who goes to war or serves in the army entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who has chosen him to be a soldier." 2 Timothy 2:1-4. Why would missionaries be uncomfortable with military imagery? The word war in this reading is the Greek stratiomai, which comes into English in the word strategy, a military term. The following verses show how the Greek verb is used. Who goes to war at any time at his own expense? 1 Corinthians 9:7. "This charge I commit unto you, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on you, that you by them might war a good warfare." 1 Timothy 1:18. Would Paul encourage Timothy to engage in inappropriate behavior, that is, being a good soldier of Jesus Christ, warring a good warfare, and enduring hardship as a good soldier? If military imagery was good enough for an inspired apostle and his son in the gospel, how could I have any problem with it? The truth is that most preachers use military terms in their sermons, although many of them may not recognize the terms as being military. For example, have you ever heard a preacher use the word victory or the word overcome? Both of these words come from the Greek nikao, which is used 28 times in the New Testament. The King James Version renders the Greek overcome in every case except one. In that one case, the word is translated had gotten the victory, Revelation 15:2. The word nikao is used 16 times in Revelation alone. Revelation is a book about the victory which God's faithful children will eventually enjoy. A few examples of the verb nikao will help us grasp the significance of winning the victory. Please remember that the King James Version translates the Greek by our English word overcome. I write unto you, fathers, because you have known him who is from the beginning. I write unto you, young men, because you have overcome the wicked one. 1 John 2:13. For whosoever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcomes the world, but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? 1 John 5:4-5. In every one of the seven letters to the seven churches of Asia Minor, Jesus used the word overcome. The Lord said to the church at Ephesus, he that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. Revelation 2:7. To the church at Thyatira, Jesus promised, he who overcomes and keeps my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations. Revelation 2:26. The New Revised Standard Version translates the Greek conquer. I prefer the word conquer or win the victory. Of course, there are many dissimilarities between American soldiers and soldiers of the cross of Christ. American soldiers fight with guns, tanks, bombs, and other carnal weapons. These are essential to protect our nation and its citizens. But the warfare in which Christians are engaged is not carnal. Paul could not have made that truth any plainer than these words from 2 Corinthians. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. 2 Corinthians 10:3-5. If it is inappropriate and unchristian to use military metaphors, why did Paul use words like war, weapons of our warfare, pulling down strongholds, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ? Paul does not use the words war or warfare in the following verses. But who can doubt what he has in mind? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Christ who loved us. Romans 8:36-37. Greek word translated more than conquerors is super nikao, and means overwhelming conqueror, super conquerors, preeminently victorious. Hugo McCord translates the Greek, in all things we have more than a complete victory through him who loved us. Charles Williams renders the Greek, and yet in all these things we keep on gloriously conquering through him who loved us. There are a number of New Testament words which may not appear at first glance to have a military flavor. But upon closer examination, we can understand their military background. For example, the Greek word hupotasso, translated submit or to be subject to, literally means to rank under or to arrange under. Vine's book, An Expository Dictionary of Biblical Words, says the word is primarily a military term. The word is used of a wife's relationship to her husband, Ephesians 5:22. Church members are instructed to submit to the elders of the Lord's church, Hebrews 13:7 and 17. Christians must be in subjection to civil government, Romans 13:1. These verses do not suggest that husbands, elders, and civil rulers are to be military generals. But the word rendered submission does suggest order in all these relationships. The Greek verb phureo, translated guard, is a military term. Vine says the word means to keep by guarding or to keep under guard, as with a garrison, page 513. Paul used the word in his great letter to the Philippians. Do not worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians 4, 6, and 7. Most modern versions translate the Greek by the word guard rather than keep. The picture Paul had in mind is very comforting. He says, if you will trust in the Lord and not worry, the Lord, figuratively speaking, will place a garrison of troops before your mind to keep anxieties, worries, and tensions away. Now a very important question. How could anyone read the following verses from Ephesians 6 and be uncomfortable with military imagery? Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Stand, therefore, having your loins girt about with the truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Ephesians 6:10 through 18. I read to you a few minutes ago where Paul argued that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. 2 Corinthians 10:4. If you listen carefully to the reading from Ephesians 6, you know what our weapons are. Our loins girt about with truth, the breastplate of righteousness, the shield of faith, and so on. Paul insists that we are to put on the whole armor of God, which includes the pieces of armor I have just mentioned. Then he commanded, stand, therefore. It is not enough to be able to use the sword of the Spirit, that is, the Word of God. We must have the courage to use it in our warfare against sin and error. We have to prepare ourselves to fight, and then fight. Paul demanded of Timothy, fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life, whereunto you are called, and have professed a good profession before many witnesses. 1 Timothy 6:12. I never want to be unkind or ugly-spirited, but I know we are in a war and will be until the end of time. I also know who is going to win, those who are on the Lord's side. The devil seems at times to have the upper hand, but we know he cannot win. John assured Christians, you are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. 1 John 4:4. My friends, faithful Christians are super conquerors through Christ who loved us. Thank you for listening, and may our Heavenly Father bless you.